medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. Once again, my name is Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. In today's episode, we are continuing our talk with Andrew Ostick, Senior Business Analyst with JF Shea and Vice President of the JD Edwards Tech SIG. We spend a lot of time talking about resources and try to give you some tips and tricks that have served Andrew well over the years.
Yes, I particularly enjoyed diving a little deeper into the resources topic with Andrew this week and getting his perspective. He is so intentional on how he approaches things, taking the time to really think through what he's after and how best to obtain the result he's looking for. I'm sure our audience will learn a thing or two from this discussion. And on that note, let's continue part two of our conversation with Andrew.
So, Andrew, you had mentioned early on in our conversation that you're really enjoying being able to take advantage of the new tool set to be able to make improvements. Where did you go to find out and learn about these things and then figure out how to incorporate that into your role?
This kind of goes back. We talked a little bit about kind of what those top tools are for my job. And one of them is literally knowledge resources. And there's so many that are available out there for business analysts. I always go back to my Oracle support. I'm in there every day. I search in there constantly. There's an art to searching my Oracle support. There's an art to being able to enter a SR and get an action passed and get to where you want to be. It can be hard. I mean, just like JD Edwards itself and any technical project, there's a lot of layers to it, but there's an art to how you look for things. But Oracle support is one of my go-tos. I always go to some forums out there, JD List. That's a big one for me, and Learn JDE. Obviously, you know, all the heavy hitters right there, but the peer networking is just as important for me. So when I'm looking at something, I always start with Oracle support, JDE list, Learn JDE, and then I'm pivoting to the Quest community, the people that I've made contact with and have really helped me throughout my career as far as filling in the gaps of knowledge where I'm at. So I do lean on peer networking and the Quest community quite a bit.
So you say there's an art to searching and an art to entering an SR. I'll admit my ignorance as to whether or not we've ever done sessions on exactly what that those arts are, or whether or not that's worthy of an episode in and of itself for us to do in the future, Chandra. Because we have talked about when it came to enhancement requests, what helps us, you know, in product development. And the same can really go for issue reporting. Many times we get the steps to duplicate and that's it. We don't understand, we don't see within the bug or within the enhancement request what the goal is, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. It's just, I did these six things and I didn't get the result that I wanted. And that gives us limited understanding, which means the quality of the solution matches the quality of the issue reported. Let's put it that way. Right? Give me a processing option. I gave you a processing option.
Context is wonderful, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So for, I don't know if we have sessions out there about searching and about entering tickets and the best way to do that.
I know we talked about that in terms of, you know, having an episode or two or three or however many needed for resources, whether it was talking about Learn JDE, but obviously, I think including some My Oracle support, both searching capabilities, but also when you're creating an SR, what are the most important things that we should include?
I used to think it was just me, but I've always had good luck with it. But my prior organization, even where I'm at now, they're like, we just never can seem to get what we want out of our support requests or anything like that. And I always kind of shrug my shoulders that I've been fortunate, I guess. I've always had great luck in trying to pinpoint that root cause or at least get an actionable item or at least say, oh, hey, you can't do that. You know, I've always been able to get an answer or at least a definitive end point to what I'm looking for with Oracle support.
So, Andrew, what would you attribute your SR resolution success rate to? Is there any advice you'd give our listeners as to how to improve their hit rate?
Yeah, it's kind of an art form, as I mentioned before. It takes some time and actually, if you will, it takes practice. Obviously, you can't be afraid of failure when you're trying to search for something or enter a ticket with anybody. We know that with our internal IT support teams, but the biggest piece of advice I usually tell the junior BAs or anybody that we have these type of discussion is actually spend some time documenting how you're going to summarize and enter that CR. That kind of seems like, aren't you creating more work for yourself when you're already have gone down a path of trying to figure out how do I get past this hurdle, this roadblock, this error, whatever you're working with, but actually spend the time necessary to kind of summarize and lay out what issues you're experiencing and what you're expecting. So that those are the two primary things that I always say, you know, break it down as simple as you can. What issue are you experiencing and what are you expecting? That simplified and effective communication really has led me to get really good results from those surface requests and the outcomes of it. You also have to play in a little bit to change maybe your language or your organization speak, if you will. So if you're referring to your E1 programs or your reports as something other than what Oracle's going to be using, you know, you kind of switch out that terminology. So keep it simple and refer to what the system refers to the program name. If you can provide those objects, whether it be a UBE, whether it's an application or inversion and form, the business function, in describing the issue, when you put those breadcrumbs in it, it helps. I feel like when I'm working with one of the Oracle support reps in whichever module I am, if you keep that kind of golden thread through the issue, it's easier to get traction and a quicker turn towards, hey, have you tried this? You know, have you gone here? Here's a document. Hey, let's get logs on this. So it's just a little bit easier narrative to follow, trying to be as black and white as possible and not trying to pull in what maybe your frustrations are in your internal process. Because as we know, when we're working with our production support, with our users, it's kind of what we're conditioning our users to is trying to create and provide what issue they're dealing with, but also the step-by-step instructions and any screenshots with what they can do or what you're trying to do to replicate the issue.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I find developers, when we enter issues ourselves, are almost our own worst enemy because we jump straight to resolution. We skip past all the steps to replicate. We skip past all the basics. And we go straight to, you know, make it do this, or, you know, I think here's what the problem is, you know, here's what we believe the root cause is, in an attempt to expedite the problem. And yet when you're on the other side of that, you find that that's almost the worst way in order to receive those issues, because it glosses over the details that you need to actually just, I think you said it last time, context matters. Context is very important, you know, when we do these things. And that's what I hear you're describing in the beginning, is make sure that you keep it simple, straightforward, cover your basics, and don't mix in your lingo.
One of the other things that I really find that's very helpful is entering a service request, whether it's with Oracle, your internal support team, whatever it is. We all know that we're dealing with 13 different things at the same time. So I'll work on summarizing the piece and creating my data sets that I use. I'll spend 20, 30 minutes on that. And then I maybe pulled away for a couple hours or maybe a day or two. I never generally get a SR entered at the time the issue happens. It takes some time to be prepared to enter one. So what I like to do is always produce kind of a reliable, repeatable process that can be replicated. So when I do leave the issue that I'm trying to prepare to get as SRN. So I have a replicatable process for the issue or roadblock in question. So when I do have to come back to it, I have kind of like that guiding path for that SR. It can be a journey. I mean, we've all probably had SRs with Oracle that have been open for more than a week or two, whether that's delays on my part, whether it's research on Oracle's part, whatever it is, just having that patience and a reliable guiding path that you can always go back to. Because I don't know if anybody's like me, but my brain can get lost when you're dealing with a dozen different go-live support issues. So being able to go back and find whatever it is, whether it's your OneNote, Evernote, notebook, your scratch pad on your desk, something to go back to so you always can get your mind back in the right frame for what you're dealing with.
That's very good advice. The ability to tag things, to note things. I get the feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, you find yourself context switching constantly throughout the day. Things come up, they distract you. You're never able to just dedicate a solid day to any one issue. As a result, you have to be very, very proficient at picking things up, putting them down, and being able to pick them up again. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's very fair. I'd probably overnote what I'm working on and where I'm at, because you do get called away. I mean, this isn't your only issue that you're working on. You're generally working with a dozen or two different either projects, issues, tickets, conversations, life. So I'm constantly documenting everything. You know, if my dog throws up in the corner while I'm working on an SR, you know, my dog doesn't really care what I'm working on. So, you know, make a note of it. I won't take a picture and document that piece of it, but I will have to address the most urgent issue on my task list.
This, we don't need photos of dog vomit as evidence of the problem, i.e., this is how you're making me feel right now. Anyway.
As again, this is the premier business podcast out there talking about dog vomit. You will not find this anywhere else, people.
Exactly.
Tune in. You just never know what you'll get.
Exactly. Wow. So before we go on to talking about the art of searching that you mentioned, one other question I have as far as entering SRs, are there any don'ts, like be sure not to do this? You know, are there any gotchas where you say just avoid doing this, or any mistakes, common mistakes you think folks make?
I will, from a personal perspective, beyond kind of what I talked about as far as keeping things objective, is personally don't feel like you have to know everything. I find myself in a lot of senses feeling like I should know how to do this, answer all the functional and the technical. So don't expect more of yourself than what you truly need. So get comfortable working with your CNC or your technical stakeholders for assistance with capturing maybe the required logging of it. Don't worry about your customization. Worry about your customization, but don't worry about your customization. See, if you have a known customization of a base object, because apparently some people may customize. I think there's maybe two or three organizations out there that do customize. I don't know. It's just what I hear. But if you have a known customization, don't worry about that. When you're summarizing your issue and you know it's a known customization, test out the base one first. I've done that multiple times. Like, oh, there's an issue, and everybody goes, well, we're customized. We don't know. You know, well, hold on. Go back, test it out in the base, because I tested it out in the base and found out, oh, there's an issue in the base too. Okay, let's open up an SR then. So don't worry about what you may perceive as your lack of knowledge, or whether you have a heavily customized or a minimally customized base object. There's different paths that you can work through to get to where you need. So other things that I'd say, if you're new to your organization, don't worry, or new to a module edge, my advice for the don't piece of this is don't discount what you know or what's available. In your own organization, you probably have a fair amount of history of other people that have entered SRs. Get comfortable working in MyOracle support where you know how to pull up other people's SRs that they've entered. You can learn a lot of that by having your own knowledge garden within the SRs that your peers or your predecessors have already used. Being able to leverage the history behind either the new modules that you're looking at or those SRs that other people in your organization have put in, can really help you kind of develop that logic or the verbiage to put into your SR to make an effective service request with that. We talked about earlier, think of how you handle your internal support system at your organization and what you need in collaboration with your users, and then kind of view that through the prism of MOS. So it's the same concept. They don't know how you use E1, but they know how the system is supposed to work. So if you detail it in the love language of E1, the communication is going to be more effective. So don't discount your own maybe lack of history or what you may perceive as your lack of functional, technical, or development logic. Pull in others. I mean, it's all team-based, whether you're working your internal team or the team with Oracle.
I like a lot of what you said there. I mean, leverage your predecessors, learn from your predecessors, see what they entered, see what success they have, learn how to use their language. KISS, right? Keep it simple as much as you can. Don't discount what you know. Don't discount what you don't know. Don't be afraid to ask more questions. Leverage your resources around you. You also mentioned going back to base. You know, if you have customizations, that's not a barrier to entry, so to speak, when it comes to entering an SR. Go back to the pristine object, see if you can replicate it. I just reiterate that because I don't know that every organization out there necessarily keeps that best practice of having, you know, a pristine environment where they can go validate base objects. But if you are in the habit of that C word, customizing things, or even to be fair, I mean, tailoring it via personalization or form extensions, you know that you've modified it in some way, shape, or form, having that base object to go back and refer to is a great first step when trying to validate whether or not it starts with us at Oracle or whether or not it could be the result of how you modified the application. So great advice.
Ready to accelerate your JDE skills and knowledge? Join Paul and me and the rest of the JD Edwards community at Blueprint 4D in Dallas, Texas, May 7th through 10th, 2024. Get the latest Oracle updates, learn about new customer innovations, and dive into hot topics like Release 24, Enterprise Automation, Orchestrations, Personalizations, Extensibility, and more. To register, visit questoraclecommunity.org/blueprint4D.
All right. So we talked mentioned a couple times this art of searching. And there's two particular areas I'd like to ask you about. One is my Oracle support. What are some tricks to the trade of finding what you want there? And then the other is learn JDE. And how do you effectively locate the knowledge documents you want on learn JDE? But let's start with Moss. Any tricks for Moss?
For Moss, one of the easiest things for me that I've been, I guess, conditioned myself to over the years is knowing the search terms and the amount of them to use when you're searching. It really becomes key because if you enter too few, it's, you know, you're not going to be selective enough. But on the other hand, if you're putting too many in, it's going to be too restrictive. So understanding just kind of that balance, typically for me, less of putting a search phrase or question in it is putting those keywords. And for me, less is more. I will find times where I put in maybe a rambling sentence or whatever into it just because I'm trying to really fish in the deep water just trying to get something. But I usually limit it to about 5 or 6 keywords in what I'm searching, and it doesn't have to be always a very coherent question. You look through your history on your searches and you look at some of the ones maybe that you've done previously and you're like, what was I even looking there for? Because the words don't make a lot of sense or logic in it. But understanding that when you're searching, it's got all of your search criteria. Anytime there's a space in it, it's an and statement. So you don't have to phrase things. If you're just putting in fixed assets, balance, forecast, you know, those four keywords right there are going to pull in your balance table, maybe forecasting UBEs, things of that nature. Using, again, kind of going back to that SR, putting in as one of those keywords, maybe the object, if you're honing in on an object, those type of things, the E1 object name, that love language of ER. Understanding those type of things kind of helps filter your results better. Another thing that really kind of will hone in for me on it is when you refine your search by module. So right underneath your main search bar, you have that product or module dropdown. And if I'm working on trying to find some resources for Orchestrator or a UDO, you know, I'll start my Orchestrator search criteria with just ORCH, and then I'll put a space and then put what I'm looking for. And the same with the UDO pieces, a format, a personal form, an E1 page. Once you become familiar with the JDE lingo bingo phrases, it's amazing when you put those acronyms into the search criteria and then a few keywords after it, how much that will kind of help refine that keyword search. So that's very helpful for me. Becoming more familiar with the My Oracle support, the MOS platform, I don't do a great job of organizing it, but adding favorites, you know, the little star for all your documents, whether it be bug tracker, knowledge document, all those type of things. And you know, you can organize those things. It's amazing the amount of times that I'll go back and I'll search on something and it'll produce the results. And you got that little star on the side and there'll be two or three of them. I'm like, okay, I've gone to this one before. You know, I know this one has something that previously I felt was valuable enough to mark it as one of my favorites. So I'll go back and look at it, or I'll know that, hey, I've looked at this one before. Maybe it doesn't have what I need out of it. So kind of getting familiar with what's available within that. To me, the biggest things are the keywords, limiting the product, and then kind of organizing some of your key documents. And it really helps facilitate and make those search results more effective.
Absolutely. I think, you know, for those out there that really like SQL and playing around with SQL, knowing that your space counts as an end statement, just think of it that way. It tends to reframe your search criteria quite a bit. I like that. So keywords, module, and leverage favorites as much as you can. Very good. All right. What about Learn JDE? Any tricks to that site, navigating that site?
When I look at Learn JDE, I'm generally using it for a different resource than maybe I am My Oracle Support. Where My Oracle Support, I'm looking at it for either issue resolution, I'm getting past some of the knowledge areas. Learn JDE has got, maybe I'll say, a little higher level view at times as far as how it's maybe organized. So I'm going there for more documents, for larger picture view of where E1's going with it, and more resources. I guess, and right or wrong, I usually look at Learn JDE as a higher value forward looking resource of information. So I'll pull up, try to find Oracle by examples, sometimes through there, some of the technical vision pieces. There's a lot of the things that come out of the conferences that I'll find on Learn JDE, digging into the different areas. So I like to go to the tools and technology piece on Learn JDE, because that kind of breaks it down to what I'm looking for. I kind of am focused primarily now on more of the UX pieces, so the UDOs, the Orchestrator. I can find really easily by going to that tools and technology piece of Learn JDE and pick up Orchestrator, notifications, personalization, those pieces of it. And then go right to that page, which is going to have different use cases, but more importantly, it's going to have a series of links on implementing new pieces of, or the newer features that are being delivered, along with different documents that can help guide a user, at least that breadcrumb, kind of like what we talked about with the SRs, set, trying to find a guiding path for you to kind of follow. A lot of times what I'll do is, if I'm working on something new or trying to learn something, I'll come out here to Learn JDE and I'll look for a document in an area that I'm working on. And I may create an SR coming out of one of these because I get maybe a path or a plan idea by searching the Learn JDE resources. And I'll start working through the example. Then I'll come up with my roadblocks, my hurdles, whatever it is. And then I'll use what I found there to open an SR with. So I guess I use Learn JDE a little bit different than what I use My Oracle Support is. But for myself personally, I prefer jumping right into that tools and technology and just leveraging the getting started, the implementation pieces, the use case, and finding information via those resources.
Yeah, categorizing your resources based on what it is that you're after. MOS is effective for XYZ. learn JDE a little bit more towards the ongoing development, future development, the latest and greatest, so to speak. You know, I've also received feedback, and I'm curious, you know, what your experience has been. Many times you go to learn JDE, we call it a one-stop shop. You throw in a search and it comes back empty because what you're actually searching for is a layer below. So, you know, learn JDE is just, you know, one website. It's got links to product catalog. It's got links to technical catalog, and it's got links to E1 documentation. But if you go to learn JDE thinking that you can just type in a keyword search that's going to pull back a chapter out of E1 documentation out of the finance module, you're probably not going to be very successful. So you got to look at it as layers, and you've got to get to the right layer before you submit your search. I don't know if you've had that experience too.
Yeah, I think what I experience with people getting frustrated is, where do I go to find these things? So one of the biggest keys that I tell people when they get frustrated with, but you got to have patience. I mean, it's almost a built-in requirement for when you're working with this stuff, because you have to allow yourself time, and hopefully your organization understands that that's part of the business analyst role, is a lot of research and review, because what may be viewed as, well, this is just a simple error. Hey, you know, I do this process and I get this error. Well, there could be six layers deep that you have to find that. So it takes time to go find not just the error, but what's causing it and how you can configure the system to work to bypass that error or to make the process better, whatever it is. It takes time to research and review. And that's something that you just kind of have to understand as a business analyst, that it isn't going to be a quick resolution in your search for what the problem is or that knowledge area can help you on it. So give yourself some time, give yourself some grace, and understanding that it's going to take you a little bit of time to leverage all those resources to find the right piece for your specific release level, if you will.
Yep. You're going to have to look at it as an iterative process, I believe.
I love iterative processes.
It reminds me of when people call in and log a performance issue with E1. Some of the worst engagements I've had is where somebody logs a performance issue expecting a similar experience to when you enter your everyday defect. Here's my steps to duplicate. Just go find out root cause, fix the problem. Performance doesn't work that way. You're going to have to iterate on it. And, you know, sometimes investigating your resources and trying to locate your answers, it's an iterative process. It's not a quick hit, so to speak.
So we will have a future episode on resources. We'll probably have a series, and maybe one of the ones that we'll do then is navigating MOS and getting the most out of your support requests. And we'll go into more details at that point on exactly what that is. I think that'd be very helpful, because one of the other things that I wrote down, it's funny, this all ties together, because you were talking about curiosity and resourcefulness. And the thing that I wrote down was, how can we help? And not we being necessarily product development Oracle, but we being Chandra and I through the JDE connection, how can we help with this medium to improve someone's resourcefulness and satisfy really someone's curiosity?
That'd be a really cool topic. And it's something that will never go away, because you constantly have the new people in these roles, and you start looking for something and you're in a vacuum that nobody else sees. The resources are out there. What's difficult, just like trying to figure out how to get a process and option introduced, is being able to find the right resource. The resources are there. It's just, where do I go to find that? That's indeed different. Mm-hmm. Even having 22 years in every imaginable support role for JD Edwards, I still like, okay, where am I going to go find this? And I've talked to numerous people that have always said, I want to learn JD Edwards beginning to end. I'm like, good luck. But
good luck.
You're going to have a fun time trying to document what you learned.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and knowing how to search it, because how I might think about it is maybe not how somebody else keyed it or coded it through my Oracle support or even tagged it through Learn JDE. I might think of it in a different term than how you at Oracle may tag it or another customer.
We find that just on your own internal ticketing system, you're going to describe something and put keywords in there that are different than I'm going to.
Right. Well, I would just like to highlight here that that's the difference between funk tech and fun tech. Funk tech gets what they want. Fun tech, well.
Ouch. Shots fired.
Funk tech rules the world.
Well, it's time for our Midwesternism of the day again. And of course, we're continuing with the Midwestern goodbye. So Chandra, growing up in the Midwest, what was your experience like as a child with this tradition? How painful was it?
Oh my, it was painful. Your parents tell you that you're leaving, so you got to quit playing, or maybe you got to quit doing your conversation with your cousins or your family friends. And then you do, because, you know, you listen to your parents when you're younger and you're, oh, I must do what they tell me to do. And you're standing at their side as they go around and say goodbye to everybody. You put your coat on, maybe, you know, it's winter, you got your boots and your hat, and you're standing there and you're roasting, first of all. You're starting to sweat and you're getting antsy because you're a kid and you're like, oh, this is boring adult talk. Really boring when you're a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get really annoyed with it. And eventually, as you get a little bit older, you kind of realize what's going to happen. So maybe you play just a little bit longer. You start pushing those boundaries a little, playing a little bit longer. You kind of catch on to it.
Yeah, you catch on to the fact that that first request to go is just a warning. It's just a heads up. And you've got at least 30 minutes to continue finishing your game or whatever it is that you're doing before you really have to consider listening to the next let's go. And you wait for that change in tone in mom or dad's voice. And then you're like, oh, they're actually serious now. I should probably go put my boots on. I get it, right?
Yes, that is exactly the case. You start picking up on that tone. Oh, this one's the serious one. I better get ready now.
Oh, let me sneak right past you there. Anyway.
Well, join us on our next episode of the JDE Connection, where Paul and I conclude our talk with Andrew Ostick, Senior Business Analyst with JF Shea Company and Vice President of the JD Edwards TechSig. We talk about our role as change leaders in an organization, what makes someone a good BA, the importance of empathy and communication, as well as personal development and engaging with the SIGs.
Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Catch y'all later.
Toodles!
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.